welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. This year, once again, I'm engaging in doing 4 half marathons over the course of 4 weeks, and I will talk about why after the broadcast. You can support these efforts at heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. That's heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. But now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane, and this one is called The Case of the Eager Victim.
Look, Angel, I've been through a lot to get to you. I'm facing a murder rap because of you. And I've got just 5 hours left to break the case. And you're going to help me the hard way. So come on. Open up. Talk.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Jeff Chandler. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Eager Victim.
Come in.
Mr. Michael Shane?
Yeah, that's right.
Good. I was afraid it was too late to catch you here at your office. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Janik. Claude Janik.
How do you do, Mr. Janik?
I hope you'll pardon the gloves. My hands... Well, there's something the matter with my hands.
Yeah, sure. Have a seat, Mr. Janik.
Thank you.
Well, what can I do for you?
A great deal, Mr. Shane. A very great deal.
Oh?
First, I have here a typewritten statement. Please read it.
Yeah. This will absolve Michael Shane of any responsibility or connection with the death of... Hey, wait a minute. I don't get it.
Second, Mr. Shane, here's an envelope. I'll put it here on your desk. And the envelope is $1,000.
$1,000? Look, Janik, start from the beginning. You're leaving me way behind.
$1,000 is for you.
For me? Why?
Third, Mr. Shane, this.
It's a gun.
Precisely.
Look, will you kindly tell me what this is all about? I'm in no mood to play games.
Oh, I assure you, this is no game. You'll put the typewritten statement in a safe place. Then you'll take the $1,000...
Mr. Janik, I want to know why you're offering me $1,000 and what you want me to do for it.
Oh, it's very simple. $1,000 is yours if you'll just take that gun and...
And what?
And kill me, Mr. Shane. Kill me.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the eager victim.
Well, I've been hired to do a lot of strange things in my time, but I must admit I was completely floored when a guy named Claude Janik walked into my office and offered me $1,000 if I'd take his gun and kill him. He even had a typewritten statement which was supposed to release me from any connection or responsibility for his death.
Well, Mr. Shane, these are all the materials you'll need. The statement, the money, the gun. As to the time and place, I'll leave that up to you.
Well, now, just a minute, Mr. Janik.
Hmm?
I don't know why you're trying to kid me along, but I can't say I care for your idea of a joke very much.
Joke? I assure you this is no joke, Mr. Shane. I was never more serious in my life.
You mean you actually are asking me to...
I thought I'd made it completely clear. I want to pay you $1,000 to kill me.
Get out of here.
But, Mr. Shane, this statement will absolve you of any...
Look, I don't know what gave you the idea of coming to me with your crackpot idea, but this...
I came to you for a definite reason, Mr. Shane.
What do you mean?
I... Well, I've been observing you lately. I happen to know you're a little short of money, and so I thought...
Being short of dough is nothing new. But you didn't observe me very closely, Mr. Janik, or you'd have known I'd throw you right out on your ear for coming to me with a pitch like that. Now get out.
Please, Mr. Shane. I need your help. You see, I don't want to go on living. There's an illness that... we won't go into that. I just can't bring myself
to... Look, Mr. Janik, I'm sorry about your troubles. Really, I am. I think you should realize what an insane thing you're trying to do.
You won't take the job?
Of course not.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Shane. Well, your answer is no for the present.
For the present?
But perhaps you'll change your mind. I'll just leave these things here with you. The gun, the money, statement.
Look, you're not leaving anything with me. Here, take your gun with you. And the dough and the statement.
Very well, Mr. Shane. I live at the Ainsworth Arms apartments. So if you should reconsider...
I won't.
Good evening, Mr. Shane. I'll be seeing you.
I doubt it. I doubt it very much, Mr. Janik. He walked out of my office, and I guess I must have sat there 15 minutes or so, wondering what makes a guy like Claude Janik tick. Of course, I couldn't help feeling a little sorry for him, but then I remembered what he wanted to hire me for, and I got mad again. Finally, I realized it was getting late, so I got up and started for the door. And then I saw it. A piece of paper lying near the door. I picked it up. It was a statement Janik had typed, absolving me from any responsibility for his death. I figured he'd probably get in touch with me again to see if I'd changed my mind, so I put the statement in my desk drawer to keep for him. Then I started for the door again. This time, the telephone brought me back. Hello?
Mr. Shane?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Gloria Hunt, Mr. Shane.
Gloria Hunt?
I'm sorry, but you don't know me.
Well, I'm sorry too, Gloria, but maybe we could change that, huh?
I hope so, Mr. Shane. I know it's late, but I'm wondering if you could come over and see me. I need your help.
Gloria, you just made yourself a date. Where are you?
I'm staying at the Faraday Hotel. Suppose I meet you in the lobby in, say, half an hour? I'm sure I recognize you.
Like I said, you've got a date, sugar.
You sure you don't mind coming over, Mr. Shane?
You're kidding. I'll see you in 30 minutes, Gloria. Maybe 29. Eight minutes later, I walked into the lobby of Gloria's hotel. She was sitting there alone. When she saw me, she got up to meet me. Gloria was quite a number. She looked, well, like her voice sounded.
It was very nice of you to come over at this time of night, Mr. Shane.
You know, I don't mind a bit. What seems to be the trouble?
Something of mine's been stolen, Mr. Shane. A diamond clip. Rather valuable.
Oh.
I discovered it when I came back to my room a while ago. I've left everything just the way it was. I want you to look around and we'll see if you can find any clues.
Okay.
Now, if you'll excuse me for just a moment, I'll check in at the desk, see if I have any mail. Then we'll go up to my room.
She went over to the desk and stood there a moment, talking to the clerk who'd been ogling her ever since I'd walked into the lobby. Then she motioned to me, and we went up to her room.
As I say, I haven't touched anything since I discovered the clip was missing.
Well, where'd you usually keep the clip?
Well, I'm afraid I was a little careless with it this evening. I think I left it in my cosmetics case.
Uh-huh.
I intended to have them put it in the hotel safe, but I was in a hurry when I went out to dinner, and I think I remember just sort of tossing the clip into that case.
Mm. Well, was it open when you left, like it is now?
The case? I thought I closed it, but I...
But you're not sure.
I'm afraid not.
Your memory isn't exactly a long suit, is it, Gloria?
I know. I get so mad at myself sometimes, but I just can't seem to help it. I sort of forget things.
Well, I'll poke around a little, see if I can...
Oh, Mr. Shane!
Huh?
Oh, Mr. Shane, this is very embarrassing.
What is?
Well, I put my hand into my suit pocket just now and...
And what?
Look.
What? A diamond clip.
Yes. My diamond clip.
Well, I'll be... Like I say, Gloria, memory is not your long suit.
Mr. Shane, I don't know what to say. I feel so foolish.
You know something? You don't look so foolish.
No, but to drag you all the way over here for nothing like this.
Oh, I wouldn't say it was for nothing, Gloria.
What do you mean?
Well, I met you, which is not nothing.
Oh,
well, maybe something could be arranged sometime, huh?
If you think you could forgive me for...
I have.
Well, then, maybe, huh? We'll see. I'll call you, Mike.
You do that, Gloria. Good night. I headed back to my office and realized for the second time in one evening a possible job had evaporated before my eyes. First, Claude Janik, and second, Gloria. Well, just my luck, I guess. Although I really wasn't too unhappy as far as Gloria was concerned, because things looked, well, a little promising in that direction. I got back to my office, pulled open the door, and started to my desk. But the chair behind it was already occupied.
Hello, Shane.
Well, Inspector Lefebvre.
Sit down.
Thank you, Inspector. Oh, it's real sweet of you to offer me a chair, considering it's my office. How's everything down at Homicide? Don't tell me. I know. Dead.
Yeah.
Well, what's on that mighty midget mind of yours tonight, Lefebvre? Is this just a social call, or maybe you want to offer me a job in your department, huh?
Wrong twice.
It's early yet. I'll sharpen up, Inspector.
Wrong again, Shane. As far as you're concerned, it's not early, it's late, and it's getting later every minute.
Oh, so now we're talking in riddles, huh? Well, see if I can think of a fast one. Maybe we should go into a game of 20 questions, huh?
Good idea. Here's the first one. Ever hear of a guy named Claude Janik?
Claude Janik? Yeah, what about him?
I'm asking the question, Shane, but yours was a good one. I'll use it. What about him?
Janik? Well, he came to see me earlier this evening.
Why?
Well, he said he wanted to hire me to... Look, you'd never believe it, Lefebvre. It sounds like it was right out of a book.
Ever see Janik before tonight?
No.
Or after he left here?
No, again. Look, what is all this anyway? How come you're so interested in Claude Janik all of a sudden?
I'm always interested in corpses, Shane. And Janik's one of them right now.
Janik's dead?
Yep.
Well, I'll be... Poor guy. I guess you never know.
What do you mean?
Well, I knew Janik was sort of in a bad way, but I never thought he'd do it.
Do what?
Kill himself.
He didn't. Janik was murdered.
Murdered?
All right, now let's take it again, from the beginning. When'd you see Janik last?
I told you, I haven't seen him since he left my office.
How long you known him?
I never saw him before tonight. Look, Lefebvre, a guy comes in to see me, he winds up dead. So automatically you come busting down here and start giving me a third degree. Well, don't tell me you think I had anything to do with it.
I do.
Well, then you're awfully wrong, Lefebvre. Just what makes you think you can drag me into the deal?
For the best reason in the world, we found some fingerprints on the gun that killed Janik. And Shane, they were your fingerprints.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the eager victim.
It all started when a guy named Claude Janik came to my office and offered me $1,000 to kill him. I turned him down in a hurry and he left. Then I got a call from a very nice number, Gloria Hunt, who told me a diamond clip had been stolen from her. When I got to a hotel, she discovered the diamond clip in her suit pocket. She is pretty embarrassed about the whole thing, but on her it looked good. I left the way open for future assignments with her and then went back to my office. And there was Police Inspector Lefebvre of Homicide.
Get your toothbrush, Shane. We're going down to headquarters.
Oh, now, just a minute, Lefebvre. Look, so you found my fingerprints on the gun that killed Janik. Okay, I can tell you how they got there, the whole story. And that's what I'm going to do right now.
I'm all ears.
Claude Janik came in here early this evening and offered me $1,000 to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, it sounds phony, but it's the truth.
If that's the truth, then you're really slipping to cough up your motive like that, Shane.
Motive? Oh, look, little man, I tell you, I didn't kill Janik. I turned him down in a hurry and shoved his gun back to him. That's how my prints happened to be on the gun.
Very interesting. There's just one small point.
What is it?
How come his prints weren't on that gun, too?
Because he was wearing gloves. But I'm telling you, that's how my prints wound up on the gun. He took it and the money and... Hey, wait a minute.
I'm waiting.
Look, I can settle this thing right now. He had written out a statement releasing me from any responsibility for his death. He dropped it on the way out of here. I put it in my desk drawer, and I'm very glad he did drop it, because now maybe you'll be convinced I'm telling the truth, and...
Well?
The statement's gone.
No.
What'd I tell you? I put it right here in the drawer.
Shane, the more you talk, the worse off you are.
Oh, look, LaFevre, where did Janet get killed? What time was it?
His body was found out of town a little way, on a side road near South Claiborne. You know that intersection with the gas station a couple of miles out?
Yeah.
Well, near there. We figure he died about 9. Why?
You know, I'm awfully glad to hear you say that, Inspector.
Alibi?
Yeah.
Shane, alibis can be begged, borrowed, stolen, or bought.
Yeah, but they also stand up in court if they're airtight. And this one is vacuum-packed, LaFevre.
What are you doing?
Calling up a very nice young lady named Gloria Hunt, whom I just happen to be with at 9 o'clock in town.
Faraday Hotel?
Hey, let me talk to Gloria Hunt.
Who?
Gloria Hunt.
There's no one here by that name. Sorry.
What? Oh, now, look, don't give me that.
Sorry.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll be...
Something the matter, Shane?
Oh, it must be a new clerk or something, or maybe Gloria went out for the evening.
At midnight?
Or maybe...
Or maybe there is no Gloria. Hmm?
Now, look, there is a Gloria, and she's my alibi, and I'm going to find her and prove it to you, but...
But what?
Well, it'll take a little time. Give me 24 hours, and I guarantee you...
No deal, Shane.
But LaFevre...
Look, you're my number one suspect right now. If you can clear yourself, or show me somebody who looks better in the suspect chair than you do... Okay.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, but I can't do it just like that. I need time.
I'll give you 12 hours.
Have a heart, Inspector.
12 hours.
Look, make it 18 and I'll...
12.
Okay. 12 hours.
It's midnight now. That gives you until noon. And Shane, that'll be it. One way or another.
Okay.
One thing more.
What is it?
New Orleans is a pretty big city.
So what?
So don't get lost.
Look, for the fifth time, there's nobody named Gloria Hunt staying at this hotel.
But I tell you...
Are you the guy that phoned a little while ago asking for her?
Yeah.
Well, you take a lot of convincing, but I told you then there was nobody...
I know, but... Well, maybe Gloria Hunt isn't the name she's registered under. Look, I just described it to you a minute ago. Doesn't the description ring a bell with you?
It rings nothing. Now, look, for the last time, I don't...
Right, boy. Okay. I turned around and walked out of the hotel. Obviously, the clerk was lying. He'd probably been paid for it. Somehow, Gloria had found out that Janet had left that statement in my office, and her whole story about the stolen diamond clip was probably just a pretext to get me out of my office so she could have someone remove the statement. Maneuvering me into a spot where I'd be depending on her for my alibi was smart, too. All of which meant I had to find Gloria in a hurry. I didn't have much time. My next stop was the Ainsworth Arms Apartments, where Claude Janica told me he lived. It was a very ritzy-looking place, complete with an elevator operator who, luckily for me, was still on duty. And luckier still was a talkative gent.
Oh, too bad about Mr. Janica. Too bad.
Yeah, nice guy, huh?
Yeah, he sure was nice to me.
You saw him earlier this evening?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Took him up to his apartment about 5, guess it was. Yeah, 5 straight up. I remember because he got in the elevator, then he told me to wait while he had them put the package in the apartment house safe.
Package?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Money.
Huh?
Told me there was money in it. Wanted to put it in the safe.
Well, is it still there?
No. Well, Mr. Janik took it with him when he went out again. About 8 it was.
8? Are you sure about that time?
No. Just a guess. Wasn't paying much attention.
Yeah, it was probably a little earlier than that. He was in my office right around 8.
Well, like I say, just a guess.
Look, did Mr. Janik have any particular girlfriend?
If he did, he kept her pretty well undercover.
Hmm. Didn't have any regular visitors here.
Well, let's see. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Who?
Well, lately there's been a guy come to see him several times. Nasty-looking gent named Landry.
Landry? Not Jim Landry?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Know him?
Yeah, he runs a joint across town. Well, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, at least I'd gotten one lead. Jim Landry, who owned the Blue Parrot. I found him in his office alone, a deck of cards in his hand.
What do you want, Shane?
Little game of solitaire, huh?
Yeah. I've been sitting here playing solitaire all evening.
Oh?
Maybe you don't hear me. I said, what do you want?
A couple of answers. About Claude Janik.
I'm fresh out of answers.
You owe you any dough, Landry?
You got a big nose, Shane.
Yeah. You were a friend of Janik's, Landry.
I didn't used to like him at all, Shane.
Why not?
He beat me out of something that was mine once.
Money? A girl, maybe.
Like I say, you got a big nose, Shane.
Look, you say you didn't used to like Janik.
That's right. I like him fine now.
He's dead.
I know. I'm not doing so well this game, Shane. I can't seem to concentrate with you here.
Yeah? Try the red nine on the black ten.
Thanks.
It's okay. See you around, Landry. Well, about then I was running out of leads fast. But then I got to thinking about that bull-necked clerk at Gloria's hotel. I went back there and hung around outside. Finally, it started getting light, and around 6 a.m., a guy came up and relieved the clerk. He yawned and started for the door, and just as he got outside, I collared him.
Hey, you! What? Oh, it's you again.
Yeah, it's me again, and this time...
Now look, but I'm...
You look. You were lying when you said there was never any Gloria Hunt.
Are you crazy?
She paid you to lie. Now open
up. Get your hands off of me, or...
Okay, we'll do it the hard way. Come on, now, give.
I tell you, I don't know.
Okay.
Lay off, will you? Lay off.
All right, let's have it then.
Okay. After you left, she told me to forget all about it. She gave me 20 bucks and then she left.
Where'd she go?
I don't know.
Look, I'm gonna...
I tell you, I don't know. I'm giving it to you straight. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You like that guy. Always gotta be tough. Everybody gotta be tough.
Huh? A fever.
You're real tough, aren't you, Shane?
Look, do you hear what that clerk said?
Yeah.
That ought to prove it's a Gloria Hunt. I'm telling the truth. That ought to...
Not so fast, Shane. So there is a doll called Gloria Hunt. To me, that's not proof of anything yet. Not until you find her.
Oh, but
And you're running out of time. Less than 6 hours, Shane.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure you won't mind if I excuse myself and keep on looking.
Not at all. But Shane...
Yeah, I know. Don't get lost. I might as well have gotten lost for all the progress I'd made. I'd covered everybody, looked every place I could think of, and I still hadn't... Then I stopped. Oh, there was one place I hadn't looked yet. In Janik's apartment. I went back over to the Ainsworth Arms, and with some fast talk and a faster 10-buck bill, I got the elevator operator to let me in the back door of Janik's apartment. I wasn't at all sure what I was looking for, but I looked anyway. For about an hour. I was just about to give up when something caught my eye. It was with some other papers in Janik's desk, a receipt from a jewelry store for a diamond clip. Yeah, possibly, just possibly, that clip of Gloria's. On the receipt was written the address where the clip had been delivered. An apartment house on the other side of town. I copied down the address, and then I called Lefevre. He wasn't in, but I left the message and beat it over to the apartment. Sure, it was a long shot, but when the door opened, I knew the long shot had paid off.
Shane!
Yeah, Gloria, and I'm coming in.
Get out of here!
It's too late, Gloria. Yeah, now.
Well, Mike, finding me was a big mistake.
Look, Angel, I've been through a lot to get to you. I'm facing a murder rap because of you.
It was still a mistake to find me. When you barge into people's apartments, you're sort of careless about looking behind doors. Aren't you, Mike?
Looking behind doors? What are you talking...
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
Well, I'd finally found Gloria Hunt. Just in time to get hit over the head by someone standing behind me. Then after a while, I started coming out of it. I could see someone bending over me.
Feeling better, Shane?
Hey, am I dreaming?
No, you're not dreaming, Mike.
Yeah, but you're the guy who came to my office and tried to hire me to kill him. You're the dead man, Claude Janik.
Right the first time, Shane, but wrong the second. Yes, I'm the one who came to see you, all right. But I'm not Claude Janik.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
You're beginning to get it, huh?
Yeah, I'm beginning to get it. You posed as Janik to me. The whole story about wanting to hire me to kill you was just an excuse to get my fingerprints on the gun you later used to kill the real Claude Janik with.
Bright boy.
That's why you wore gloves, so that the only prints on the murder gun would be mine.
You have it all figured out. Well, and too bad it's too late.
Mind telling me why you killed him?
I don't mind, Mike. I finally got Janik to settle some money on me. Nice, hard cash. That's what I've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe you got Janik to drive you out into the country. You had him parked near a spot where your friend here was hiding. Your friend kills Janik, and the two of you drive away. Does it fit together that way by any chance?
It could, Mike. It could. But you might be a little more polite. My friend here's name happens to be Tom.
So happy to know you. So you and Tom now live happily ever after on Janik's dough, huh?
That's the general idea, Shane. But that doesn't interest you anymore. Because it's time for you to leave the party. Right now.
The gun in his hand moved up a little until it was staring me in the eye. His finger started tightening on the trigger, and then...
Dykes, take care of the girl.
The fever.
Yeah.
Well, how did you...
Back door. Better late than never, huh?
Yeah. Any later, and it might as well have been never.
Well, now, that's gratitude.
Gratitude, yet? Guess who just solved your case?
It'll be solved when I hear the story, Shane.
Well, I think if you talk real pretty to that girl Sergeant Dykes just took out of the squad car, you can persuade her to spill the whole story into those shell-like ears of yours.
I'll sure try.
Yeah, I know you will. Oh, just one thing more, LaFever.
What is it?
Okay if I get lost now?
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday and written by Bob Reif. Music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surface series, oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Today, I can't help but think that the killer scheme might be a dicier proposition. There are a lot of places you go to and you say you're going to commit suicide or you want to die. And if they think you're serious, they may try and detain you. And Inspector LaFever, just relaxed and cool as a cucumber throughout. It's actually a big contrast with the policeman that Jack Webb faced as Pat Novak and Johnny Madero. LaFever is firm and authoritative, but he's not going to be a bully, nor go into histrionics. At any rate, now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and Blake says, I love the Jeff Chandler Michael Shanes. I think that they get a bad rap. I like that he gets beat up and only ever stumbles into the solution. Reminds me of Rockford, right down to the $20 a day plus expenses he charges, versus the latter $200, figuring for a couple decades inflation. Well, Jim Rockford's still charging more, even adjusted for inflation, but I think your point is well taken regarding the overall style. And that is a little similar to Rockford. There were quite a few episodes, particularly in season one, where the case went down that way. Though I think Rockford, there's more of a sense that he's got some ingenuity that's at work as opposed to Shane, but I think your point is well taken, and it is similar to a lot of episodes of Rockford Files in that way. And Jack says, Adam, what a kick this series must have been for Betty Lou Gerson. Instead of just doing her Catherine head Hepburn imitation, she got the chance to be all sorts of women, from the seductive Margot to Shane's landlady. What a tour de force. And that's in specifically regarding episode 1977, the case of Talani's Tears. And certainly there's a lot of these performances where, just for economy, particularly when you're dealing with a syndicated program like that, if you can get an actor to double up. I think I even heard Raymond Burr in this week's episode in two different roles, one closer to his normal tone of voice and the other a lot more soft spoken, that I did to listen really carefully and say, yeah, but this is Raymond Burr. So radio really does give you that range and opportunity in a way that it's harder to get in the screen medium. All right, well, I want to go ahead now. Thanks so much for your comments, and talk about Run for Heaven's Gate. And we're nearing the end of the arduous training schedule, as my first half marathon I will run on October 9th, and the last of the year I'll run on November the 5th. I should say, in this series, I've done the half marathons before. Back in 2014, and it's a very challenging thing. I might train for one just for the fun of it, but four this close together requires a very special and very different reason, and that's because of the needs of HIV AIDS orphans in India. And it is a real crisis over there, with so many children either infected with the disease, or whose parents have passed away from the disease. So many are left to wander the streets, and many die alone. And the purpose of Run for Heaven's Gate is to help fund the efforts to provide them a loving home, medicine, food, education, future. And it's a cause that's really close to my heart. I was very blessed in 2014. We raised enough money to keep two children alive and cared for an entire year. So if you're interested in helping, you can sponsor me as a runner at heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. That's heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. Thank you so much. All right. That will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for the lineup, and next Monday, another episode of Michael Shane. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.